Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
Thank you, worship team. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate that so much. Before I do scripture reading and jump into the sermon, I just was thinking about the tag of that, "It is well with my soul." If you're not familiar with when that original song was written, the gentleman who wrote it actually had a family, and they were called overseas. Well, he had to stay back a minute to finish up some things, and the family went ahead and actually sank and died. And the part of that song, "It is well with my soul," is he started composing that song when he then made that trip about a week later and was over the spot of where he lost his family. And he goes, "It is well with my soul." And it's just a powerful moment because we've talked about it a couple times already today. There's so much going on in people's lives and so much going on here at the church. There's so much going on in this country. And I just marvel at why when God gives me an idea for a sermon series, we're doing God Is, and we're looking at the different characteristics of God. And today we're going to be talking about God is revealed. And it just is marveled. I just marveled when God gives me those ideas because they're all His. And hopefully I communicate it well today. But how He orchestrates everything together and the song choices. And you know, Laurie led this week and she knew some bullet points, but she didn't know what I was going to say. But the song choices were perfect. So let's continue in worship together. And I'm going to read the scripture reading today. It's in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And this is in everyone. That means everyone. So let's do this together. Starting in verse 16. "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." 2 Timothy 3, 16. So today we're going to be in Psalm 19, and I'll connect the dots here, how I got to 2 Timothy here in just a little bit. But one thing I did forget to mention to Laurie, she's praying, is just ask that we have our elders meeting this week, and every month we have an elders meeting. The elders are elected by the members, and they're kind of the overseers, if you're not familiar with that. And we are an elder-run church. You may think, "Pastor Gary, you make all the decisions, and you should be glad that I don't." There's some capable men and wives that partake in that as well. So just pray for the elders this week. We are a little behind this year, and we are behind in our giving. And so, I mean, I sent a letter home in October. Hopefully you got that, understanding that. And so we've got some decisions to make coming up in this week. So I just ask for your prayers and covet your prayers in that. Because one thing I've learned is that the balance sheet doesn't tell the whole story. And this church has been here for 20 some years because God has decided it's going to be here. And so that doesn't mean we might not have to make some changes, and that's okay. But one thing that I'm very confident in is that God is at work in our church. You agree with that? It's amazing to watch every week what happens. And so many of these things, you guys, many people don't know, but just the countless hours of service that people give, the countless hours of volunteer time, the countless times praying with one another, the countless hours helping a brother in need, a brother and sister in need. And we've got some new families that have been attending here for a little while. And so we're grateful that God has brought them here. And God is at work. And you know, Lauren couldn't be here today. Lauren, about a month ago, was baptized. And he's been battling with some sickness and things going on in his life. So you can keep praying for him too. But God is at work. God's going to continue to work. But today I'm going to jump in. We're going to talk about God being revealed, Psalm 19. So if you didn't know, last week I started off and I said God is creator. And this idea, this character quality of who God is so incredibly important in this idea that God created us. God created us and He interacts with creation, which is amazing. We have incredible value because as human beings, God's word tells us that we're created in His image. And He loves us greatly. And because of that, we have this incredible responsibility. But my launching point for all of this whole series is really John 15. John 15 is one of my favorite chapters. It's when Jesus is teaching in the upper room at those last moments. You know, an incredibly large portion of the book of John is devoted to those last hours and couple days, which is incredible. And Jesus is teaching and he's reminding his disciples that, listen, I'm the vine, you are the branches. God is the one that is the vine dresser. And in verse 4, he says repeatedly, remain in me, remain in me. And I think that's so critical to remember. And so that's my goal this 4 weeks that we're going through different Psalms, is that would help you understand who God is a little bit better and then relate it to your personal life. So in Psalm 19, we're going to look at this phrase, God is revealed. We're going to see how he's revealed in creation and how he loves us so much. And he sent Jesus to fix the problem of sin that is in this world and make a way, as we know, the only way to him, and make a way for us to him. So before we jump in, though, I just want to pray real quick for this and ask God to really speak through me and not be my words, but that he would open our hearts. So let's do that now. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for creating us to be in relationship with you. Thank you for sending Jesus so that we can, in fact, be in relationship with you, despite the sin in our life, Lord. Help us to be restored to you. Help us to see in your word today how you revealed yourself to us, how you made a way for us, how you love us. God, I pray that you be with us, that there's no stumbling blocks in our path. God, you would remove them from my path, as well as those that are in attendance or online hearing this message today. And God, you would speak, not my words, but yours. I pray that you be with us in this time, and our hearts and ears and eyes would be open to what you have for us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So God is revealed. God is revealed. Excuse me, anybody else dealing with congestion and sore throat today? Yeah. God is a creator, without a doubt. We saw that last week, and we understand that God has created man to be in relationship with him. And because of that, we have incredible value. God loves us. And even though sin breaks that bond and separates us from him, Jesus enables us, because of the work on the cross, to come back to him. And so open your Bibles there to Psalm 19. It'll be on the display as well on the TVs. But if you got a Bible, follow along. There we go. Pastor does know where it's at. This isn't my Bible, by the way. I left mine at home. So all the little markings and things that I have in it are not there. Let's start in Psalm 19. I'm going to read all the 14 verses, and I'm going to go back and start looking at sections of it. So starting in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Verse 2, day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no such speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is a great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from a willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Love these verses. Love, love, love these verses. The first 6 verses there are talking about God is revealed in creation. I think that that first 6 verses just kind of lay that out for us. And this idea that even the expanses, even the skies are a creation of God. And it really what it harkens back to is Genesis chapter 1 and the creation story, the expanses, the skies, and how God created these things. In verse 7 and 8 of Genesis chapter 1, we see this. I think we got that, Braden, or did we miss it? There we go. All right. You're rocking and rolling. So God made the expanse, or the skies, and separated the water under the expanse from the water above, and it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And I don't know about you, but this idea of space, this idea of the sky, sometimes we don't get a really good view of it from down here, do we? I mean, we can look up, and during the day, we see clouds, we see the sun. Don't look directly at the sun, right? And we see amazing things happen, like not that long ago, we had that total eclipse that was just absolutely amazing to see when something like that happens. But I don't know if you've ever flown in an airplane before. I've had the privilege of flying a couple of times, and some of my favorite flights are a little bit longer. We visited my brother-in-law, think of how many kids ago. I think my wife was pregnant with Grace, so this has been a minute. We were flying across the country, and we were up high, tens of thousands of feet in the air, and there's something about sitting at a window seat, if you've ever done that. Some of you that are afraid of that, that's okay. You're missing a great thing, but it's okay. But you look out and you can just see what is like literally miles when it's clear. Just this immense space. And if you're lucky, you get to see the clouds and how the formations are. And it's just absolutely breathtaking. And if even more above that, if you're flying when the sun is setting or the sun is rising and you see the view from way up there, it is just mind-blowing. And David obviously wouldn't have had that view, but he had that idea that this was an expanse. This was an amazing display in creation. God is creator, and his power is on display in creation. There is a power. There's something that was made out of nothing that only God could have done, and his glory was on full and is on full display. And this idea of God being revealed in creation is really what Paul, the Apostle Paul, is talking about in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, Paul starts talking about this, and he goes, basically, he's talking about the sin that's in all man and how no man, he says in verse 18, is without excuse because of the very nature of creation. In fact, in verses 19 and 20 of Romans chapter 1, we see this. Since what may be known about God is plain to them. In other words, he said in verse 18, there is no excuse. All man knows because of God has made it plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that man without excuse. And Paul goes on to say that essentially all men are without excuse. In other words, we know, even if we haven't lived in the United States, even if we necessarily haven't seen the Bible presented to us in the gospel, we have this innate, because we're created in the image of God, we do know this right from wrong. This idea that there are things that are right, there are things that are wrong, and that we're missing something. We may not be able to, if you're without Christ, you may not be able to put a phrase to it, a word to it. You might not be able to say, Jesus is what I'm missing. But there's a hole in your heart when there's sin involved that reveals that there is something missing. And Paul goes on to then say that it's because of the sin that's in your life. But Jesus came to fix that sin. God is revealed in creation to all of us. I may say one more thing just because I want to. This is off script, so watch out. It's not going to be oatmeal cream pies, I promise. There's something about, and I think it's because of the little baby Nora today, there's something about new life, isn't there? That just wraps your brain around how good God is, the creation, the amazingness that is life. And I think that that's just on full display. And so whenever we have new people or people that have additional children, you can see all the grandmas, all the great grandmas and grandpas flocking, right? Because there's just something amazing about this new life. And I think that's in the same breath that when life is there, we are so blessed by what God has done, and it's revealed to us in his creation. The second thing that I wanted to point out from here is that God is revealed in his word. And I will read Psalm 19 again. I'm going to read verses 7 through 11. I know right now you're thinking, Pastor, why did you close that if you knew you were going to read it again? Verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to your eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them is their great reward." What a marvelous reminder that David pens here, this different ideas. They use different words for God's word. God, you know, we think of God's word because we have the Bible now, the full, complete Bible, and this is God's word. But for them, they would have thought of the Old Testament, the beginning that would have been written by this point. They think of, you know, just the prophets, the word of the Lord, and they draw from this and they realize that it's perfect. It's trustworthy. It's never changing. It's never failing. The Lord reminds them that it is pure and lasts forever. It kind of hearkens to the book of Revelation in chapters 1, 21, and 22, when is written that God says, "I am the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. I was always here. I will always be here. And my word will last just like me." And I don't know about you, but it brings a great comfort. You know, at times when I'm struggling the most, or when I've got like something that's just off, I'm not feeling well about something, or just something struggling in my life, I know there's two things that always bring me back. Good, solid Christian worship music, that brings me back because I'm a musician. I love it. But then, of course, reading and listening to God's word, reading and listening to God's word. Right now, I'm listening through the book of Matthew, and I've read the book of Matthew dozens of times, but I've been picking up things from the commentators that are just absolutely mind-blowing. And it's so crazy to me because they're helping me with situations where I'm at right now. Isn't that amazing that when you're in God's word, you start a reading plan at the beginning of the year, you have no idea where you're going to be in September. You know who does? God does. And what's amazing about God's word is that it is all of these things. It's alive, it's living, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It has the ability to help you in all situations. God is revealed in his word. And I love one comparison in here about honey from the honeycomb. Has anyone actually been able to eat fresh honey right off a honeycomb before? Watch the bees, right? But with the proper protection. But isn't it amazing? It's just something. After I had pure honey, someone that had this from nature right to the bottle to my house, I will probably never eat honey from the store again. But there's something that's fascinating about even that, even with honey, is that, do you know that if you eat honey that's cultivated in your area, it actually has incredible medicinal purposes, and it helps you fight different things that are in the air and around your area where you're at. It's amazing that God created these little creatures, little bees, that you would think have no idea what's going on, but what they're doing is creating this amazing, amazing tasting thing. And if you haven't had fresh honey yet, you need to get some. You need to get some. It's amazing. And so this is what I imagine David's thinking, because remember, they didn't have processing and stuff like they do today back with David. And so this would have been what he was thinking, this amazing connection, this amazing taste. And so my personal application question for you today, when it comes to God as revealed in his word, is how are we doing with reading his word? How are we doing with making time to fit it into our schedule? How are we doing with reading it consistently? How are we doing with studying it? How are we doing with meditating on it? How are we doing with just spending time in God's word? And in 2 Timothy, as we read earlier, but a few more verses mixed in here, in 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 14, Paul's writing this, and remember, the Apostle Paul is writing, if you don't know, 2 Timothy was written probably, if not the last book, one of the last books, written from his prison, which is right before he probably was killed, and he's writing these last words to his protege, Timothy, the man that he had invested in, that he had discipled, that he was essentially kind of handing over the ministry to him. And these are some of what he said. He said, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." In other words, what Paul is saying, listen, this, the God's word is what you can hold on to. The Scriptures, they're true. They bring knowledge. They help in teaching and correcting and rebuking and training and all of those things that we're to be about as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus. We can't do it without God's word. And this is the most definite revelation that's been given to us. Clearly, most of the time. Some of the times it's difficult to translate and what's going on, but God's word is true. God's word is holy. God's word is just. This is what we should base our life on. So again, I ask that question, how are we doing with spending time in God's word? How are we doing with making time? Have you ever noticed that if you wait for the opportunity to come around to read God's word, it never comes? You have to be intentional. It's kind of like me and working out. I know I've said this a lot recently. I want to get stronger. I want to run a marathon again. Ask me how many times I've lifted and ran in the last 3 weeks. So if I told you that I'm going to run a marathon and I then told you that I don't ever run, what do you think the likelihood of me running a marathon successfully are ever going to be? Well, in the same way, if I tell you that I'm a Christian and I'm following God's word, but I'm not reading it, what good is that to us? And so I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm just telling you what I think God's telling me. Hopefully it's hitting home, and hopefully you're challenged to start back again. And see, the beautiful thing about your relationship with God is that there's new mercies afforded to us every morning. If we repent, if we come back, he welcomes us back, kind of like that prodigal son story, right? Where the prodigal son had left and spit in the face of his dad, ran away, spent all his money, and he comes back groveling, hoping he can just be a servant, and the dad welcomes him, open arms, and not only that, but sees him at a distance and runs to him. That's the God we serve, but you've got to come back to him. God is revealed in his word. And the last one here is God is revealed in man. God is revealed in creation. God is revealed in his word. And God is revealed in man. And just the last couple verses here of Psalm 19, 12 through 14. Starting in verse 12, it says, "Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." And what I love about these verses is David's recognizing that there's still sin in his life, right? And one of the perhaps the biggest ways God works in our life is by revealing himself in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever felt that nudge when you realize, I probably shouldn't do this next step? And then you're like, I don't know. You're kind of waffling. Well, that nudge is probably the Holy Spirit going, listen, is that really what you should be doing? God reveals himself through revelation. Maybe it's through other people. Maybe it's through really good friends that you have an accountability relationship with. They have the ability to ask questions of how you're really doing. And if you don't have someone like that, I would encourage you to strongly seek that out. Maybe we can help you get connected with someone. Having people in your life that will ask you the questions you need to be asked is important, because so many times we can be doing the right thing, but we can get distracted and we can kind of go down the wrong path. And if we don't have people in our life helping us stay accountable, that can be a real issue. God can talk through other people. Yes, he can even talk through spouses. Spouses, be careful with this, because you don't want to overuse that. But sometimes, right, our spouses know us best, hopefully, and they know our hearts. And so maybe they're trying to help us. Maybe it's a trusted leader. Maybe it's a youth leader. Maybe it's a worship leader. Maybe it's someone that you're connected with in some way. God will help speak to you. But the amazing thing is that God even speaks to you directly through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so glad that he does. David pleaded in Psalm 19 with God to keep him from sin, even the sins that were hidden. Keep those sins from me. God knows our heart. God knows what we're capable of and what we've come from and what we've done. But he also loves us enough to meet us in those locations and call us out of that sin. And it's all, just the last verse again, real quick. David says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." In other words, God, may what I do be honoring and glorifying to you. David's cry is to be known and to be found in God's presence. Is that your cry? To be known by God, to be in his presence? Because that's the reality of our salvation, is that that is the true gift. That is a true gift. Yes, if we are in Christ, we will live on forever in eternity. But what's so great about it is we're going to be with him without sin. Well, that salvation, that eternal life, I believe starts the moment that you accept Christ. Your life will be different. It should be different. He's going to call you out of the sin you've been living in and into a new life where you're free and when you're able to live for him fully. And that's what David's cry is all throughout this chapter, is this psalm, is that, and he gets to the end and he said, "God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you." God is revealed in creation. He's revealed in his word, and he's revealed in your life. David craved more of God, and more and more and more of it. So the personal application from this one is this: cling to these words during this season. Desire to be known and follow God deeply. When a sin problem comes up, address it. Call it what it is. Ask for forgiveness where forgiveness is needed. Ask for repentance. You know, repent to God and say, "I can't do this on my own. Help me to correct this." Don't hide it. Can I tell you that times in my life when I've struggled with sin, it undoubtedly gets a million times worse when I try to hide it. Because I think I'm hiding it. I think I'm hiding it. And then I'll confess, maybe it's to my wife or whoever it was, and they'll be like, "Yeah, we knew." It's obvious, but what's so freeing is that when we're able to take that sin and we're able to hand it out to God and say, "I trust you, God. I have failed you in this situation. God, I want to turn from this sin. I want to turn to you." There is something amazing about bringing that out into the light. So I don't know. Maybe that's you today. Maybe there's something that's been eating at you that you're realizing that you need to confess. Maybe today is today. Maybe that is the day that you need to say, "I'm getting free from this. I'm surrendering it to God. This is a safe place. This is a family of God. We love you, and we're here to help you." And I know that looking around, many of the elders that are here today would be more than glad to come alongside of you in a situation like that. Many of the, some other ladies of the church, if that's more appropriate. Don't deny what God may be asking you to do today. He reveals himself to you. And aren't you glad that his immense mercy and grace that comes through Jesus cures a lot of things, doesn't it? See, when we don't get what we do deserve, but we get the extravagant love and glory of God, that's grace. It changes everything. So what is your response today? As the worship team starts to make their way to the stage, what is your response? What is God revealing to you today? Something in creation, something in his word. There's really two steps to this, I think, in my mind anyways, is number one, have you answered the call to Jesus, to come back to Jesus? If you haven't, let today be today. But maybe you have answered the call to Jesus, and maybe there's something in your life that you just need to get right. You need to surrender it to him. You need to confess this. I'm not saying come up here, we'll give you a mic and you confess to everyone. That might not be appropriate. But if you need to talk to me or Pastor Dan or some of the other elders, you know, and you just need someone to pray with you, to come alongside of you, there's power in the power of God. And I pray that you would do that. So as we begin to sing this song, as they get to our feet, if there's something you need, come forward during the song and we'll take care of it.
Thank you for tuning into this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.